If you would be kind enough to turn to Luke, the 8th chapter. We've been talking about the kingdom, and today's title is Growing the Kingdom. And we will start with verse 4 and read through verse 15. Read along with me, please. And while a large crowd was gathering, people were coming to Jesus from town after town. He told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled upon, and the birds of the air ate it. Some fell on rock, and when it had come up, the plants withered because there was no moisture. And other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still others seed fell upon good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." And his disciples asked him what the parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they cannot believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but that as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." We have been talking about the kingdom of God. We've been talking about in preparation of the kingdom. We've been talking about those who are radical for the kingdom, take the kingdom by force. And we realize that there's two things that happens in a Christian's life that is really important. First of all, you got to have a radical birth, and that radical birth is being born of the Spirit. It's radical. It's different. You know, we no longer become self-centered, because when we become born again, we learn to become selfless. That's what being radical in the Christian faith is all about. And then we learned also that there's a radical ending. And that ending is going to show that those who think that they're going to be in heaven are going to be only there for a little bit of time. Because all of us are going to be in heaven, but not all of us are going to stay there. Okay? And that's the radical ending. Because those who think that they have the kingdom, and those who think that they've done all this good stuff and been good people and had all this happy malarkey is going to find out that it's just wheat. It's not even wheat. It's weeds and wood, hay, and stubble that God's going to burn up, and there's going to be nothing there. And neither will you. And what I find is that in Christianity, there has been this dichotomy of being radical for the Lord, but in radical, we don't understand what God is trying to tell us to do, and that is radically love one another. Radically love God is to radically love one another. And sometimes that's really hard. It really is hard, because what happens is we forget to be, because we're so busy doing the kingdom. And what I want to say today is, how are we going to grow the kingdom if the kingdom is not growing in us? Okay? We can't scatter the seed if we don't produce the fruit in our lives. Or better yet, can't allow the Holy Spirit to produce what He wants to produce in our lives. And I did that preaching months ago about the seed, the potential of the seed. And I asked you guys, what do you see? And some of you said, "Oh, I see this type of seed, and I see that seed." But I got the response that I was looking for, and one of our congregants said, "I see a forest." You see, the potential of one seed is greater than what we could ever ask or imagine. That's who God is. He's greater than anything we could ever ask or imagine. And we have to begin to start looking with the eyes of the Spirit, not with the eyes of our flesh. And it's so easy for us to look with the eyes of the flesh, because this is what we're used to. We're accustomed to seeing, "Oh, this person, oh, I really don't like that person," because after all, and you just put on your definition to it. But in the kingdom of God, it is radically different, because you look in there. And I believe that what God is trying to say to us today is, it is not just a matter of understanding the seed that goes through. It's a matter of going deeper in our understanding of this parable. Because if we can understand the parable, we will understand or begin to understand what it really means to become a Christian or a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it has nothing to do with the rules and regulations that we have been taught since knee-high to a grasshopper that has been infiltrated into our minds and has stymied us from being that God has placed that potential within us to become. Amen? Amen. Jesus preaches this parable and he uses the three S's. Now I'm back to the alphabet, guys. You know, we had the three R's, we had the three this, we had the three that. And now I'm giving you another letter with the three S's. Jesus used the three S's, the sower, the seed, and the soils. And I want to take us a little bit deeper because the parable is very simple in its understanding for the general public. Okay, and Jesus preached parables so that he could paint a picture for people to understand, everyday pictures for people to understand what was going on. But I want us to take those pictures and really delve into it. Have you ever been to the art museums? And have you ever sat down at a picture and you just began to look at the intricacies of it? Or are you like me? Oh, that's ugly. Oh, you know, and you really don't appreciate what was put in to that painting. Because every painting has a little bit of the artist himself poured in there. And he's trying to convey something back to us. Jesus is trying to convey something of himself to us. Not only 2,000 years ago when he spoke the parable, but to us as believers today. And I really believe if we begin to start looking deeper, not rushing over this, but really starting to see the depth of what he's trying to teach us, I believe our radical Christian mentality would even be even more radical. The sower. He says he's the sower. He goes through the whole thing and he says it's God. He sows the seed. But let's take that a little bit deeper now. 2,000 years have passed and Jesus is not with us. Who is sowing the seed? All of us. I'm not just sowing seed. You're sowing seed. Whether you understand it or not, your life is sowing seed into a person's life. And Irene used that, you know, because of Judy's mom, Peg. I mean, we loved her dearly. We loved sitting down with her. She was a radical woman for God. There were some things that, I mean, she spoke truth that really, like, you know, it was tough to hear. But you know what? When you listen with the depth of your heart to hear what she was saying to you, it all made sense. You didn't appreciate it at the time, but when you thought about it and you heard what she was really saying, you could see the depth of that love that she was trying to communicate to us. And we really appreciated her mom. And we really appreciate Judy, too, and Kath, because we've known them for many years, and they're really great women of God. They don't see themselves as that, but we do, because we look with the eyes of the Spirit. And Jesus wants us to begin to understand that you know, we've got to take our eyeballs, not literally take them out, but really turn them around in such a way that the spiritual blinders come off. We are the sowers. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, I'm the head, you're the body. It has not changed. Now he's working through us. And so we should have been matured enough in Jesus Christ to begin to start sharing the Word of God. And I'm not preaching this as an evangelistic thing. I want us to get to understand that there is a depth here. The seed of God's Word has come into our hearts. And our lives must be radically changed. Not because I tell you to, but because the Word of God says so. And you don't do it because you have to. You do it because the Holy Spirit has already done it in you. It's just waiting for that to be manifested out of you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. The object of our lives is to allow the kingdom of God to come from us in power and in might, in the full potential. And it can happen individually, but I really believe in the last days, and we are in those last days, maybe last hours. I really believe that as we come together and understand that the fullness of the power of the kingdom will manifest through His church worldwide, not just only at Streams or other churches in here, but worldwide, because we've all caught the vision of what Jesus was saying to us 2,000 years ago. So we're sowing seed now, okay? Now, I did that sermon, you know, where I walked out there with the seed and I threw all the grass seed on you guys. And I did. This is Radical Little Church, you know. I love object lessons and they love getting pelted with seed. But I was demonstrating how in those days the sower would just go out there and reach into his bag and throw the seed. He really didn't care where it was going, but he was just throwing it. Right? And Jesus gives us four types of hearts that we're dealing with. And we take it upon ourselves that, oh, what condition is my heart? My heart is the hard one. My heart's the thorny one. My heart's this one. My heart's that one. Let's get past that. How many of us have been born again of the Spirit? Okay, we're past that stuff. We already have the Word of God engrafted into our hearts. What needs to happen now is now to allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit. And what is the fruit? The seed of the seed that's already planted in us, 100-fold. Okay? So the object here for us as Christians, and as I believe, is learning how the Holy Spirit does that. And He does it in us first. And Jesus said the key to this is getting the Word. It's getting the Word. And you've heard me say, it's not how much of the Word you know, it's how much the Word knows you. And who's the Word? Jesus. And we tie it all in. Jesus said in the last days, you know, Lord, Lord, didn't I do all this stuff? And Jesus said, I didn't know you. So it's a matter of knowing. It's a matter of knowing Him. It's a matter of knowing yourself, because in Him I live and move and have my being. And so if I'm living and moving and have my being in Jesus Christ, then there is something greater than me just mumbling and complaining about my miserly little life. It is something greater than myself, and I must begin to start seeing this as greater than me. How does this come about? Well, I have brothers and sisters that are in Jesus Christ. I may not like how they look or how they smell or how they dress or how they drive or, you know, whatever. That is immaterial. What is most important is, do they love Jesus Christ? Yes. Well, then we need to learn to work together. Because the object of this game is what? We bring the harvest in. No, we don't. The angels bring the harvest in. Our job is to go and preach the gospel or spread the seed. Okay, that's our job. And the church has gotten messed up. We're trying to do the Holy Spirit's job. That's not our job. It's the angel's job to bring them in. Our job is to preach the good news of the kingdom. And you can't preach something you first don't believe in or you don't have. And I believe you have it, but the church really doesn't believe. And that's a lie too. Because you wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe. What you believe in is you want something greater than where you have been. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ, if you listen to what He's telling us, will begin to ignite our hearts in such a way that it will consume all the garbage in us so that we can begin to start consuming the garbage out there and allow peace, love, righteousness to begin to touch the hearts of people out there. Now, the first heart that He talks about is the wayside heart. And that is a heart that has already made up its mind that, you know, I'm rejecting Jesus Christ. And all of us were there. All of us rejected Jesus Christ. And I can remember there was people coming up there handing me a tract. Here, man, you know, you need to know about God. And I go, right, we did it, right? But we get offended when we say, bless you, brother. Have a track. Why are they doing that? Don't they know the good news? You see, we've forgotten where we were. And we failed to recognize where they are. The seed falls on that ground, and their lives have been trampled upon. They have become hardcore. They have become in such a way that they don't want to believe, they don't want to hear, they don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. That does not stop the sower from spreading the seed upon their lives, right? And remember, I said it takes about 7 times of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ before someone will begin to start either hearing the gospel or receiving Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So we can't give up. We've got to continue to throw the seed. But what happens? We continue to push, brother, you need to get saved, you need to get this. And what happened? What did we do? I know what I did. I got angry and grabbed a guy up by his neck and stretched him a little bit. Said, get out of my face. Didn't we do that? But yet we expect them to react differently. We've forgotten what we were like. Because after all, I'm super Christian. We're not. We've just forgotten where we come from. And we don't know where we're going. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus knows where we're going. What we need to do is continue to serve that person and throw that seed of our lives into their life. Not that they're going to participate in it, but that the seed will eventually find a crack. God says, I send forth my word and it does not return to me void. It will accomplish that which I have purposed it to do. If no one is sending the seed out, it can't do what it's purposed to do. It will not be releasing the potential or the power of God in a person's life. Well, I can't speak to that person about Jesus. Why not? My Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And we just said today, I can do all things. I believe what it says. I can do it. I can do it. Well, then you're lying to yourself. Or, as Jesus said, the word goes forth and Satan steals the word. And he's been stealing the word from God's children every day since Jesus left. And I'm here to tell you, grab a hold of it. Hold on to it. Because being radical for the kingdom is to fight for the word. It's not to give it up freely. You have the right and the strength to disperse the seed as God wills. But you choose not to. I was over here with Amber, you know, teasing her a little bit about, you know, her, I can't worship God like this. But I know that when you were down there at Choir to Fire, all of a sudden, oh, yeah. When you come here, you know, oh, you a bunch of old fogies and stuff. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You choose not to. We need to understand that God is producing something within us, within the church. And we become dissatisfied because there is not this vehicle for us to allow this to come forth from us. God has placed something tremendous within each and every one of us that He wants to come out. Jesus said something, you know, and this is what really gets people. He says, if you don't pick up your cross and die daily, you can't follow me. And the church figures, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. Church, it's nothing about got to do. It's becoming that which you already are. A seed is a seed, and when you throw it in the ground, is it still a seed? Yes, it's still a seed. Until the pressures of being in the soil, proper temperature, water, all come together. The right mix comes together, squeezes it, and breaks open that shell, and out comes what was really inside, the potential that is being released. What Jesus was telling us is, you know what? If you really want to operate in the kingdom, you got to let me break you. You got to let me snap this off. Don't stay in your sinful, mindful ways, but let it happen. Let me do this. And you will see that your life will take on a different magnitude like never before. You won't be able to say, oh, I can't go over and speak to that person. You'll go over there and throw a seed on them. We don't care if they receive the word or not. What we should care about is if we're throwing seed out there to them. It's their choice. You see, it is their choice, not ours. Their choice whether they're going to receive it or not. Our choice is to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to give us seed of the kingdom so that we can throw it out. And that means that we kill everything that is not of God in our lives. That's what the cross is. It's killing what we deem is important. Oh, I really don't feel like going to life group tonight. Okay. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything. You know, you're a free moral agent. You don't have to do anything. But you'll miss a blessing. You'll miss an opportunity to serve. You'll miss an opportunity to receive something. You'll miss an opportunity to throw seed into a person's life and really begin to start seeing God use you in a small way that will eventually grow. Jesus said, faithful is he who is in little things, he will be faithful in much. You see, and we get stuck and tripped up because Satan wants wants to keep us from doing the little things. And God says, okay, you do these little things, I'll give you a little bit more. I'll give you a little bit more. When we go to heaven, we're not going to sit on a cloud and play little harps with the angels. We're going to go for a wedding feast. We're going to have fun. And then He's going to give us jobs to do. It's the truth. Because when He calls us on an account, He says, you know, oh, dude, you know, I gave you five cities. What did you do? You multiplied. Okay, great. I'll give you 10 cities now to rule. The other one had 3. He said, okay, I'll give you 6 now. You don't get less. You get more in God. You get more to do. But the one that buried, he says, out of here, dude. That goes to the first guy, and you're out of here. You see, I think what happens is we as pastors do not present the gospel in such a way that brings understanding and enlightenment the mind to inflame our hearts to do what God has called us to do. And because of that, we have caused God's people become frustrated. Jesus is not frustrated. He's frustrated that we're not putting the things together so that we can become all that He's asked us to become. And the time is short now. The Joshua generation is rising up and has to happen. We need to understand that those hearts that we're throwing seed into. And I've got one right now. My nephew is I presented the gospel 3 times, and you know, he's a heroin addict. Tried to commit suicide, the whole 9 yards. And it's like, man, when God speaks to me, if He speaks to me to go talk to Him again, I will go talk to Him. As hard-hearted as He is, you know, you got to do what the King tells you to do. And you just keep throwing seed out there. Hopefully that one kernel of seed will find a crack in his heart and get down deep enough with the right light, right pressure, and right amount of water begin to germinate into his life. And now we have the other one. We have those seeds that are being tossed out onto the ground with the rocky soil. Now, these rocky soil are believers that believe the message, but they never seem to get stuff done in their lives. You ever meet people that say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to do this. And the greatest industry for that preys on those type of people is what industry? The diet industry. Because they know you're going to fail. And they know that guilt is going to come in, and they know that they're going to guilt you back into spending more money. Right? God doesn't guilt you. He just says, throw seed out there. Throw seed. See what happens. How many people have received the good news of Jesus Christ and have not proceeded to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him? For a short time, they hang in there, but all of a sudden, you know, don't think so. Again, it is not the sower's responsibility for that one who is receiving seed. It is the sower's responsibility to keep throwing it. And if you don't have it, if you don't have the intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't throw seed into a person's life. You just can't. You have an empty bag. What? Come on, God, fill it. And God says, but you know, I'm trying to fill you first. It's like, here's a glass of water, Jude, but there's no water in there because I didn't fill it with anything. And you're thirsty. Now, how can you give something to somebody that you yourself don't have? And that's the problem with the church today. The church is busy running around trying to give stuff or give the things to people that is not the things that they need. You know, what good is a tourniquet when what you need is to be stitched up? What good is it is if a person needs to have a hug and we just walk on by? What good is it? What seed are we throwing? And Jesus is trying to get us to understand something even deeper. And that is, see the condition of a person's heart. Not to give up, but continue to throw the seed out there. Discern what's going on in that person's life. Discern. Don't assume you already know what's going on there. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's going on? How can I throw some good seed in there? I remember one time I was at this party and there was this girl.
And she was gothed out. I mean, she was gothed to the T's. And she's by herself. Nobody wanted to sit with her. I mean, this girl was like, she looked hardcore. So, of course, me being me, I get hardcore too. I go over, bring her a drink, sit down. How you doing? Hi, I'm Gary. What are you sitting here for? Well, they got all the good seats. I prefer I come over and sit with you. There's plenty of seats over here. And you just start a conversation. You just find out who she is. And come to find out, she's the pastor's daughter. I'm like, how sad. The pastor should know the condition of his kid's heart. And she's in rebellion. And I'm relating to her. Old fart like me is relating to a young, I guess she was 14 years of age or 15. I'm just sitting there chewing the fat with her, finding out all about her, you know, how's this and all. Next time I saw her, remembered her name, so a little bit more seed into her name. How you doing? Start cracking a joke with her here and there. See her again, keep throwing seed into her. I'm not preaching the gospel. I'm living the gospel in front of her. To the point where this young lady today has changed her whole demeanor. She's a hairdresser. She likes colors other than black. And I mean, it's awesome to see this young lady finally get turned on to the Lord. Did I have a part to play? Yeah. I'm very microcosmic part, but I believe that if I did not, who knows where this young lady would have been. All I did was take time, throw seed. Take time. What's the deal? We got plenty of time, church. You got to fill your bag up with seed. And her heart, you know, her heart was touched. There was something that Jesus was using in me to touch her heart, to make her feel important. And God began to work in her life. There's all kinds of rocks. You know, you have to understand the Holy Land there's not a lot of grazing land. Where Jerusalem is, there's a lot of hills and stuff. And outside the city, there's beautiful glades and stuff. But where the city is, there's tons of rocks. And they're all different sizes and shapes and made of different kind of compositions and all. It is our responsibility to invite the Holy Spirit to help us figure out what kind of rock that is and how much seed to continue to throw in. We don't want to be intrusive, nor do we want to seem uncaring to a person. What we want to do is be sensitive to throw some stuff out there and pray for that person. That God would do something in their lives. If they continue to use us, use us. And every time we run into that person, continue to do it. You know, you have the seed in you. God's waiting to grow the kingdom. And the kingdom grows one person at a time. And as we continue to throw this seed out there, like I said, you're impacting a person's life. If you don't throw seed, you're impacting the kingdom of darkness. Because that person is still in darkness. And will not continue to hear the good news. There is no light. There's no hope for that person. And in my nephew's case, without any hope, you become desperate and you try to take your own life. And then Jesus told us there's a third type of heart that's out there. And that's this heart that is running around trying to get all this stuff out there. And they hear the good news. And we're throwing this seed into that person's life. And they hear the good news and the seed comes up. But after a while, all of a sudden, you see the person just does a fade away. What's been going on? Well, I don't know, you know. And Jesus told us it's the cares of the world. It's the pressures of life that have come in. You know, materialism in America has reached heights I can't explain. The pressures of life today has really been stupendous. And what do you see? If you sit in front of the boob tube long enough, what is most of the advertisements out there? Food. So that gives us into a spirit of gluttony. What's the next thing? Cars. Oh, yeah, materialism. You know, you got to have this car. Easy payments.
Credit cards.
Zero payments, you know.
Get out of debt.
Well, how did you get into debt? Furniture. Defray your payments for 2 years, 3 years. By the time you start paying on it, the furniture's falling apart.
Golly! No wonder America is messed up. But the things I saw, the two most commercials I saw the other night was drugs. If you got a problem, let's medicate you. Instead of dealing with the problem as God sees, and then really dealing with problems. You guys know. You call me, I stop what I'm doing. Because there's nothing more important than a person. I can always go back to fixing the house, working on the house. But that time I say, well, I just don't have time for you. What's that sowing into your life? And Jesus never turned anybody away. He healed them. He delivered them from the effects of the devil. He even cast out demons, of which you guys can do too and should be doing through discerning what's going on. The other thing I saw was entertainment. Cruise ships, vacations, go to Las Vegas. To show. I did this, you know, kind of like a food financiato. And she's looking into his basket and she knows he's lying. And then it says, what's in Vegas stays in Vegas. I'm like, what are you trying to say here? What are you trying to convey? And what is happening in America today, if you're not astute enough, is to see that they're trying to train up our people that in America today is a life of ease. You don't have to work. Because you don't have to pay for anything. And if you have to pay for it, don't worry about it. Defer it. After all, what we want you to do in America is have a good time. Don't matter if you're in Vegas or not, but have a good time. And if you're not having a good time, there are medicines that we can give you for you to have a good time, even by yourself. But eventually, and what I found, and I was part of the drug culture, what I found in that was eventually I had to come back to reality. What are we doing with people that are caught up in that? We in our own lives are not living the kingdom. We don't implement the principles that God has said for us to have success. And so why should somebody listen to me if I'm not living what I'm preaching? Why? I have people saying to me, you know, how the heck can you build that house, run a church, be in full-time ministry, have a business, and you're building a house? How are you doing it? I mean, they're amazed at what we're doing. I said, well, you see, the principles of the kingdom are this. I give to God, He gives to me. I give more to God, He gives more back to me. It's really that simple. Well, I can't afford to give to God. I can afford not to give to God. Because, you see, I want God's blessings. I want to honor God. I want to do the things that God says. And because of that, He has honored me, and I'm able to do the things I can do because of Him, not because of me. I don't sweat or struggle. I get anxious a couple times in the throes of this thing, but I'm not sweating the details. God's working them out. I just leave that to Him. I continue to throw seed. And as God produces more seed, I continue to throw that seed. See, I know my job. And my bucket is filled all the time, and I just keep throwing seed. There is so much contained within your lives that all you need to do is just stop resisting God, die, and do what it is He's told you to do. You know, people are looking for something that's real. They're looking to the reality of a person's life. And I've told you that, you know, if a Greek wanted to know what you were all about, he would follow you around for a day and see what you were about. If a Jew wanted to know what you were all about, he'd follow you around for a week. Because, you know, you're more susceptible to messing up in a week than you are in a day. We need to understand that in order for our baskets to be filled with seed, we need to be living the gospel. You can't separate Jesus and the gospel or the kingdom. He is one and the same. They are synonymous. He is the Word. He is the King. He is the kingdom. We are His body. We are His children. We are His people. We can't step in the kingdom on Sunday, and as soon as we go out the door, I'm living in the kingdom of darkness now. You know, and that's what's really
mixing people up. And you hear it. So you call yourself a Christian? Wow, that's like throwing cold water on a fire, right?
But there is hope. And Jesus said the last soil is the soil that is good soil.
When you throw that seed down there, it seems like God has prepared this person's heart and it's they're ready. They're just ready.
And you throw that seed in there and man, no matter what you're telling them, God is producing something in their lives. And I was that person. I was ready. When I rolled my car over and I almost killed my family and we were compacted like a can of sardines in our car, we got out of there. Okay, mad. Okay. Sticking her tongue out at me.
And when I sat down with my best friend, Jack Daniel, and Jesus came in, introduced himself to me, and I committed myself to him. Jack did not. You know, Jack was still in the bottle. I was radically changed. I radically fell in love with someone who radically loves me. And I don't want to preach religion. I want to preach relationship and the kingdom of God. And finding good soil, I have to discern good soil. I have to discern people's hearts. I have to discern my own heart. I need God to continue to work in my life, to open up my heart so He can produce the things that He wants to produce in my life so I can reach into that bag and throw that seed. Church, what's in your bag? Do you have a bag? That's probably the better question. Do you have a bag? Do you know the bags on the side of you? Could be in front of you. You know, we've seen those poofter bags, you know, on vacation, you know, and you put that stuff in there. I got one. But you gotta know God loves you. That He wants to produce the seed in your life, but you have to stop resisting Him. You have to yield to Him. There are people that He has predestined you to meet on a destiny that it is a holy encounter. And I know all of us have had that, where we run into that person, run into that person, we run into that person, and we never said anything to that person, but we keep running into them. Wake up, church. God's bringing them in. It's a holy appointment for you to speak to that person. Hear what they're saying. Don't preach at them. Give them an ear. Give them a little bit of time. So what if the pot roast burns? It doesn't matter. What matters is a person's soul. What matters is where they're going to end up. Because remember, there's going to be a radical end. There's going to be a radical end for all of us. And not all of us are going to stay at the end. Not all of us are going to be there at the end. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You, Lord God, for Your Word. I thank You, God, that You take us a little bit deeper. You show us, God, that being a body of Christ is more than just pretending to be a Christian. It's more than just Sunday service. It's more than it's more than our money, Lord. It's more than anything we could ever ask or imagine. Being a Christian is living in total obedience and commitment to You and Your purposes, God, and doing our job. I pray today, Lord, that we begin to get a clearer vision as to what our job is and stop doing Your job. God, I pray that those areas where You've been speaking to us that You want to take control over and produce some seed, God, I pray that we yield ourselves to that. But most importantly, God, I pray that we yield ourselves to You, God, that we yield ourselves to Your will, God, that we get rid of all our presumptions and suppositions and stuff and get real with You, God. That, God, in this reality that we have, God, that we begin to open up our spiritual eyes and see something greater than what we could ever ask or imagine. God, I ask that the Holy Spirit begin to release the potential of the seed that is within us and produce that hundredfold crop that You promise us, God. I ask that You bless Your people as they go forth. I ask You bless the fathers today, God, as we celebrate Father's Day. But God, I ask that we may bless You through our lives and our obedience to You, God, because every day is Father's Day for You.
I pray for your grace and your mercy be upon us this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.